Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Talking Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Suss, who covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Nick, good morning. How are we doing?
Good. Greetings from beautiful Eagan, Minnesota.
Mm. Oh, yes. Very nice. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Nick, with that in mind, obviously joint practices this week with the Vikings, the preseason game coming up on Saturday against Minnesota as well. What do you make of where the quarterback competition currently stands between Malik Willis and Will Levis?
I think that game on Saturday kind of helped me reframe it in my head of when I watched these guys play, I was struggling because I thought they were competing to be the quarterback in 2024 or whatever. And when you kind of reframe it and watch it as these are two guys competing to be the backup quarterback in 2023, I think the competition's where it needs to be. If you had to ask either of these guys to start 15 games this year, I'm not sure how it would go. But when you look at it as these are guys who are being asked to prepare for going in for a drive or two if they need to play, if Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, and starting a game or two in relief if it's worse than that, they're in a better position than they were last year. I like the way that Willis has grown, gotten better, seems like he's getting the ball out a little bit quicker, seems like he's processing and using his second and third reads more, seems like the plays are a little bit more designed to do what he does best than they were last year. I think it's a better fit now. And with Levis, look, he just needs to adjust to not being the best player on the field anymore. And that's a tough adjustment. It was a tough adjustment for Malik last year, and it's a tough adjustment for so many rookie quarterbacks. But you can also tell the talent is there. The reason why so many people considered him a potential top 10 pick, he gets the ball out well. He can mix his arm angles and arm slots well. He can throw the ball a mile. He's strong. He's gifted. He's mobile. He commands the offense well, especially in practice, the way he congratulates his teammates after good plays, the way he works in a huddle. There's a lot of stuff there. He just needs to piece it all together and get the mental aspect going. And I'm feeling pretty confident that if either of them need to come in for a game or two, the Titans are going to be in a better position than they were at the end of last season.
If Levis can't piece it together enough to, you know, surpass Willis for QB2, is that a big deal in your mind, Nick?
Probably not. I mean, I'm a big believer in remembering what we said at the time. And just like we said about Willis at the time, hey, he's probably a 2 or 3 year project. Don't write him off after a year. We talked about Will Levis being a 1 or 2 year project, and I would argue he might be a skosh ahead of schedule right now. But if he's not ready in year one, that's what we said when they drafted him. They probably wouldn't be ready in year one. So if he's not, just believe your instincts at the beginning. Don't move the yardsticks because somebody else got better or because it's tough to be patient in the NFL and all this stuff. I'm not going to read too much into it if somebody else is better than him, especially somebody who has seemingly worked really hard. So give some credit to Malik if that ends up happening.
Nick, how concerned are you, or maybe a better question is, where do you think the kicking competition currently stands? How do you think the Titans view that at the moment, and how much pressure is on those two guys as they head into this week against Minnesota?
Oh, there's a ton of pressure because they haven't been able to distance themselves at all. And if you think of it just from that perspective, one of them could have put it away, you would think, with both of them being new kickers. If one distances himself from the other, he gets the job. It's pretty simple there. But when it comes to level of concern, when it comes to can they go outside to find this, I truly don't know who on the street is going to end up being an upgrade. Kicking is such a fickle situation. You can go get somebody with experience, and I'm sure there are people with experience who are on the street right now, but the best kickers are signed. That's the product of the game. And so I'm looking at it. I think that if it ends up being Caleb Shudak or if it ends up being Trey Wolf, there are going to be some growing pains, and that stinks. But I guess I would say light nerves more than strong concern about it, because we've seen Caleb Shudak kick in one NFL game. We've never seen Trey Wolf kick in an NFL game. We have no idea what's going to happen. If one of them wins the job out of camp and then struggles in the regular season, there's nothing stopping the Titans from moving on then. Obviously, that's more leverage that you're losing if you're making the decision based on regular season performance versus preseason performance. But we've seen the Titans move on from kickers in the regular season so many times, and that carousel is not a good thing, but that flexibility and the cheapness of the position does give them a little bit more wiggle room if they need to make a change later.
That first team offensive line, Nick, good series. They get them out of the game. How big of a deal do you think that is? How much of them do you think we'll see in this one?
I thought that was a big deal, especially since the Bears were, I think there were probably five or six Bears starters on the field for that. It wasn't as if they were purely going up against second stringers. I think you want to see more. You want to see them play with Ryan Tannehill. You want to see them be on the field at the same time as the top receivers, just for the sake of building timing and chemistry. I would hope to see them play two or three drives together just to increase the proof of concept there. But yeah, it's going to be up to the whims of how much the coaches feel like they've already proved. They get these two joint practices, and they're going to get a lot of reps here. And if they look good there, I think there's a good chance that they ease off of them in the preseason. So I really don't know what to expect this weekend and the game against the Pats next weekend. But I guess what I can say is these guys need to learn how to play together. That's the big step, and you're only going to get that with game reps. So the more they can do in the preseason, the better it's going to look.
Nick Suss from the Tennessean with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Nick, as you look at this wide receiver room right now, how do you think the battle stands for the bottom part of the room, be that, you know, spot five, spot six? How do you view how that's shaking out this far into camp at this point?
It's been a tough one to read, because if you're judging it purely on who looks the best when they are playing wide receiver, you give guys like Reggie Robertson, I think he goes by Roberson, I mess that up every time, Reggie Roberson, Kyaris Jackson, Treshawn Harrison, these guys have simply looked better at playing the position, but we know the Titans have in the past made judgments on those fourth, fifth, sixth receivers based more on special teams, based more on locker room ability, based more on some outside factors, and that's where guys like Grayson McMath and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina kind of come back into the fold. Right now, the only four guys I feel pretty certain about are Hopkins, Burks, Phillips, and Chris Moore. But, I mean, McMath and Westbrook-Ikhina have been on the team for a long time, and they keep sticking around for a while. It's hard to say they've done anything to prove the Titans don't need them anymore, that they should move on, but we're at these practices, we're at these games. Roberson's looking really good as a guy, and you look at somebody like Kyaris Jackson, could he end up being that second option as a slot receiver behind Kyle Phillips? You can talk about Mason Kinsey in that regard, too. He's made a couple of plays, but obviously he's a guy that they've kept on the practice squad a few times and can probably end up doing that again. I don't know. There's so many pieces there, and it's a good problem to have when you look at Gavin Holmes and think, well, maybe he could be the sixth guy too. I don't know. But it's also like the kickers. You'd like somebody to stand out so the decision becomes easy.
Wait a minute. It's Roberson? Like, I swear he has said it's Roberson, and like, I've been correcting people. Did you actually hear him say it's Roberson?
The TV broadcast talked about it, and we talked to Robbie about it, and apparently there has been a change.
So he changed
communicating this.
So this is like Joe Theismann, Notre Dame quarterback, changing his name Joe Theismann because it was Theismann for Heisman. Is that what we have here?
I just feel like you've been wrong the whole time.
Well, I mean, that's first time ever.
Yeah, he's trying to win the Joberson Trophy, so he changed the rhyme.
Okay, we need to figure this out. I just talked to him, too, and I had a chance to ask him,
Reggie,
point blank. Okay, wow. I'm sorry, man. I'm shook right now, Robbie. If you have a question, I don't know where to go.
Nick, last thing here for you. As you look at the game coming up on Saturday, we've talked about the offensive line. Would you like to see the starting group play a little bit more? I know things went well, and they went right up and down the field and scored. Do you think that they should play a little bit more deeper into the game coming up on Saturday?
Selfishly, yeah, because I want to know how they look. But realistically, you're probably going to learn more from practices than the games. Offensive line, I'm curious. Joe, I think it was you and I talking about this the other day, about are you more likely to get injured as an offensive lineman in a game than practice?
Right.
Maybe a little bit higher because of concussion risk, but I don't know. I don't functionally understand what the risk is, but I also do think that if you got the first team offensive line out there with the third team running backs and third team receivers, it's a bit incongruous. So we'll see. A lot of this probably depends on if and when Tannehill wants to play, if and when Burks and Hopkins want to play, how much of the true first team offense do you get to see? Just because you're more solid on these guys and know who DeAndre Hopkins is doesn't mean it won't be instructive to see him on the field with the rest of the first team offense. So just because the offensive line needs the most work, the thing they need work with is timing. And what's that timing going to matter if they're on the field with Malik Willis? It's going to be valuable for calls and communication and stuff, but the speed of the offense is dictated by having Derrick Henry out there, having Ryan Tannehill out here. So if you want to see a full offense work to its potential and see them develop that rhythm, you really got to have 9 or 10 of them out there. You can't just have 5 or 6.
Well, Nick, looking forward to your coverage this week in Minnesota. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, happy to talk. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Nick Suss from the Tennessean, our guest on Robbie and Rexha. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, react to what Nick had to say there as well. Coming up next, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll do all that coming up next. Make sure you join 1025-1063 The Game at Door Jam this Saturday, celebrating Vanderbilt sports at David Williams Recreation Center. The fun kicks off at 2 p.m. and will include autograph sessions, photo booths, and lawn games. Head out there to support Vanderbilt athletics as fall sports return in just a few weeks, just a little bit over a week away, Joe Rexroad, from the first game for Vanderbilt. So looking forward to that.
Ready.
Looking forward to that. 615-737-1025, our number. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Good series. They get them out of the game. How big of a deal do you think that is? How much of them do you think we'll see in this one?
I thought that was a big deal, especially since the Bears were, I think there were probably 5 or 6 Bears starters on the field for that. It wasn't as if they were purely going up against second stringers. I think you want to see more. You want to see them play with Ryan Tannehill. You want to see them be on the field at the same time as the top receivers, just for the sake of building timing and chemistry. I would hope to see them play 2 or 3 drives together just to increase the proof of concept there. But yeah, it's going to be up to the whims of how much the coaches feel like they've already proved. They get these 2 joint practices, and they're going to get a lot of reps here. And if they look good there, I think there's a good chance that they ease off of them in the preseason. So I really don't know what to expect this weekend and the game against the Pats next weekend. But I guess what I can say is these guys need to learn how to play together. That's the big step, and you're only going to get that with game reps. So the more they can do in the preseason, the better it's going to look.
That was Nick Suss on with us in the last segment. Appreciate him taking time to be with us here on the program. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away, a 4-pack of tickets to PBR Stampede Days at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack to PBR Stampede Days at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday. 615-737-1025. Nobody's with me. I'm really hoping we're going to see the offensive line a lot more in the game Saturday, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, so first of all, great word usage by Nick Suss there, incongruous.
That was good.
That's a great word. But I actually disagree with him. I think you can separate out the offensive line and get worthwhile chemistry, rhythm work. I mean, even if the skill guys are different, the quarterbacks are different, like those 5 guys are, that you can compartmentalize them, separate them out. And again, their risk relative to practice is different. All the skill guys, unless, you know, you have a tip pass at the line and then, like, Aaron Brewer grabs it, and now you can tackle him to the ground, you know? Like the being tackled to the ground makes it more dangerous in preseason games for skill players. But offensive linemen just are blocking.
Yep.
And they're block. And, the big danger for an offensive lineman is the guy who falls and rolls up on him from the side or from behind, which can happen in a non-padded practice as easily as it can happen in a padded practice or in a preseason game. So I think you separate them. You look at and Vrabel did, at least in terms of just the fact that they dressed. He certainly looks at them differently, right?
Agreed. And look, if they go out there this week in the joint practices and the Titans' starting offensive line looks good and has good reps against Minnesota and you feel good about the work that they've gotten in, then fine. Like, maybe you adjust your plan of the preseason. And to Nick's point, like, if they start to gel and play well, maybe you don't need to see as much from them in the preseason games as right now I think that they do. Like, to me, the job is get them as good as they can possibly be by week one, by the time week one rolls around and you're playing New Orleans. And I get that there's probably some risk that comes along with that from an injury standpoint, but, I mean, that's the job. Like, they got to be ready to go week one. And maybe practices are the way to do that. I just would have liked to have seen them play a little bit more than they did on Saturday, and I'd like to see them play this Saturday against Minnesota and see what they look like and the consistency with which they can play, you know, gel some of that chemistry together on the offensive line. We've talked about that, how long that takes offensive lines to come together. Like, I just feel like you got to give them every opportunity to be as good as they can be by the time week one rolls around.
Yeah, it's just as much work as possible. You increase injury risk when you do more work, but I think it's worthwhile. It takes offensive line sometimes way into a season. I mean, 2019, yep, that'll be the example forever and ever. And, yes, there were guys who had to come back and hurt and suspended and all that stuff, but it was also, like, it was some serious growing pains on display. And I don't remember that year, like, I don't remember the preseason stuff because – like, just like all the stuff we're talking about now, we're just forget all this stuff. We have no idea what the heck happened in this whole preseason. But I think as a rule, the more work for an offensive line you can get, the better. It is very much as, you know, Jeff Stoutland, the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line coach who coached Andre Dillard, he's the one who told me long ago that it's like ballet. Offensive line, when he was the O-line coach at Michigan State a long time ago, said it's like ballet. Like, watch ballet. Watch how precise and how in exactly at this moment everybody has to be. If you have that or synchronized swimming, I think you use that analogy too, then that you have good offensive line play. It's not just smashing somebody.
No. There's a lot. It's an art, as they say.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what they look like this week against Minnesota. What did you make of what Nick had to say of the wide receiver group? And, I mean, you said this was call your shot, so let's talk about it. Like, do you think Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is in serious danger of not making this team?
No. I think the only way he's in serious danger is if, as Nick said, so people need to step up and really seize it.
Yeah.
Rob/Roberson here on – who was that, Kevin in Florida?
Yeah.
Roby and Rex Road?
Yes.
Here on Roby and Rex Road. He's had his moments, and Harrison's had his moments. And, yeah, I guess I'm not big on the idea. Like, I understand what he's saying. You could have a backup dedicated slot receiver like Kyrus Jackson or Mason Kinsey. I just don't think either of them are going to be on this football team. So someone has to – now, when I said that too, I still wasn't drifting off Racy McMath, and I'm still – I don't know what to think about Racy McMath right now. Yeah, I think he helped himself a little bit last week. But it takes a couple guys to rise up. Colton Dowell, is he going to make a move? He hasn't really made a move. He had – a couple of good practices like early last week, I think. Again, already forgetting the whole preseason, where I'm like, okay, you can see it now, but you got to see a lot more than that. So at this point, I don't think he's in serious danger, but I do think that his own performance, like, it needs to improve.
Well, the reason I ask that is because it does to me in some ways feel like Chris Moore could be what NWI has been, right, in terms of. You know,
I think he's ahead of him.
Yeah, I think Chris Moore's – and now, look, he's got a hole in the ball, and he got bailed out a couple times on Saturday. But, I, you know, with Chris Moore coming in, if he's your number four, you know, I feel like he could do some of the same things that NWI has done. So does that change the equation? Like, I've operated under the assumption they're going to have both of them. But do the Titans, does the coaching staff view it as, well, Chris Moore can do some of the same things that NWI does, and maybe you're looking for a different skill set for your number five or number six receiver? I don't know.
I think the only way then it would actually impact NWI making the team is if they're like, look, we have to keep five because we're keeping three quarterbacks, yeah. And so it's got to be five. And so because Moore's ahead of NWI and he can be a gunner, all that stuff, okay, Rob/Roberson. Reggie R.
Reggie R.
Speed guy. Young, you know, vertical threat, speed guy. That's a different skill set. He could also be like a backup slot, whatever. Yeah, like maybe that, something like that. But, or Racy. I mean, I guess you could say like Racy, more valued on special teams. So, and you'd see the upside with him, so go out there. But at this point, I wouldn't predict that. And I'm guessing they will still go with six. If you go through the whole 53, I mean, I think you can keep three quarterbacks, six receivers, and still be okay and take it away from somewhere else.
Where do you think the sacrifice comes from elsewhere? I mean, we've talked about, could it be edge rusher? We've seen them in Vrabel's tenure here go with just three guys at edge rusher.
Yeah, maybe because Autry. So the thing is, they have two guys who could count in two rooms. Autry's one of them, and Molden is one of them.
Yeah.
So maybe like a corner, and then you still have Molden counting as a safety or whatever, but he's a corner. I think maybe somewhere on that side of the ball.
It's really fascinating because I said this earlier in the show. Like, I am convinced they're keeping three. I think they're keeping three quarterbacks. I think it makes a lot of sense to do that at this point. So if you're going to do that, there's somewhere else that's going to have to be sacrificed at that point, but we'll see what happens. Interested to see the quarterback battle. We're going to talk a lot about quarterbacks on Monday, I would assume.
I would think so. Maybe kickers.
Maybe.
For good or bad, kickers. They need to like manufacture opportunities. Like the other day, I was like, at one point, I was like, kneel right now.
And kick.
It ended up being the shootout field goal. But I was like, you know what they should do right here? Is they should like get it's like the 33.
Yeah.
Let's see that.
Make it a 50-yard.
And in a real game, Willis got him a little closer. Good for him. But I was like, if I'm the Titans, I actually want to see one of these guys kick a deep field goal. And he would have missed, by the way.
I agree. Join 1025-1063 The Game and come out to the 10th annual Williamson County Battle of the Badges Blood Drive today. You can check out Joe Rexroad there as well. Every 2 seconds, someone is in need of blood, so stop by the Brentwood Library at 8109 Concord Road from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., sponsored by B.L. Harbert International. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rexroad. We will do that next. This is 1025-1063 The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jared Companies, above and beyond industry standards. Jared Companies, Inc., the only company you need for site work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Jared Companies offers a wide range of services, including grading, excavation, drainage, underground utilities, fire sprinkler, fire alarm services, and more. If you need an estimate, call 615-515-1270 or go to JaredCompaniesInc.com. That's JARRETT CompaniesInc.com. I am in the questions chair today. Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser, would we like to begin with sports or non-sports?
Non-sports, Robbie. Let's roll.
Non-sports. All right. In honor of our discussion this week about Messi and is he the most famous athlete coming to Nashville, who's the most famous person you have ever seen live with your own two eyes? The most famous person you've ever seen with your own two eyes. Maybe we could even amend it to talk to.
Yeah. I mean,
your most famous person you've ever talked to.
So I've met two presidents.
Okay.
H.W. Bush and Obama.
Okay.
But I've also met Muhammad Ali.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I think that'd be an interesting one. Somebody tell me. We had this discussion the other day on Messi and, like, you know, Taylor Swift and all this stuff. And someone was like, what about, like, presidents who have come to Nashville? Yeah. I was like, well, that's a fair point, right? President, worldwide superstar.
Yes.
So, text line, tell me what's more famous, a president or Muhammad Ali?
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that. Nick Heizer, the most famous person you ever spoken to.
I'm still mulling over it a little bit.
I can come back to you.
Yeah, go ahead and come back to me. No, no way.
Yes. Joe Rexroth? Mine.
PK, Paul Karhoski.
So I have another.
Asheville Grass.
Another poll. I have two people that come to mind that are the most famous I've ever spoken with. One is LeBron James.
What? One is an obvious one.
And two is Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So which one's more famous, LeBron James or Taylor Swift?
Taylor.
I think it's Taylor Swift.
You think so?
Your buddy. Your childhood buddy.
Yes.
I think so. I think that's the most famous person anybody has met.
Anybody?
You and anybody ever.
Okay.
Taylor Swift is as much an international superstar right now of any on any platform as there is.
You think she's more famous than LeBron? I legitimately am asking. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
All right. So I guess Taylor Swift is my answer.
There's some people who just don't follow sports at all.
Yep.
Now, I understand there's some people who don't follow music, but you still know Taylor Swift, right? I think so.
So I guess Taylor Swift's my answer.
All right.
Nick, do you have an answer?
Yeah, actually, so I am struggling. I could very easily just go with a hockey profile here, but I'm not. I, too, have met Taylor Swift, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because when Cracker Barrel in Hendersonville opened, and I'm talking about the one that opened over there by Walmart in town.
Shut up.
I just met her when that had when that place opened. I walked in there with my family and did not recognize her at first.
She was in the Cracker Barrel?
She was in the Cracker Barrel with her mom and dad.
I just gained more respect.
I was
going
to say, don't tell me you weren't there. You were probably there.
Probably was around the corner.
I was with my grandmother.
Hey, did you finish that waffle?
I was with my grandmother, and we were walking in, and my mom turned around to both of us and said, y'all realize that's Taylor Swift, right? And I was like, oh, let's turn around and go introduce ourselves. So we all walked over there and said hello really fast. Didn't want to make too much of a scene. But
it's in the middle of her country fried steak.
Well, she was luckily leaving. She was on the way out where you can go look at all. You can kind of peruse all the candy and stuff at the front. Yeah. So that's where we saw her.
So you guys have met her, and my wife and daughter won't even, like, get me a ticket to go see her with them.
Yeah.
Awesome. Real fair.
Stuff.
Real fair.
Really nice stuff. All right, back over to sports. Who will have the better season? C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson, who has now been named the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts? Who has a better season, Stroud or Richardson?
That's a good question. I will go with Richardson. And I disagree with people. This is probably worth a topic at some point, maybe the rest of the week. But I think Anthony Richardson starting there makes sense because your starter isn't good. You're not good. Let him learn. I think they're both going to have ups and downs. But I think the upside of Richardson and some of the plays he'll make will make it a better season than Stroud, who, frankly, I'm just not a huge fan of Stroud. I think Stroud has a chance to be good, but I think Richardson is at least going to dazzle at times.
Okay, so you're going Richardson. Nick Heizer, Stroud or Richardson?
I think I tend to agree with you, Joe, in the terms of maybe the dazzle from time to time, but I think that Richardson, for me, the long term of the whole season, him being the starter, him getting the better looks, and him getting the chemistry with the wide receivers, which I think have more experience possibly than some of the guys down there in Houston. And look, it's a new offense down there, more or less with D'Amico Ryans at the helm. It's a new look team for the most part. So I'm going to go Anthony Richardson as well. I don't know if Jim Irsay can quite ruin someone in their first season. So I think we should be all right there.
I'm going Stroud. I said this during the draft, and I'm not going to back off of it now. Like, I don't think Richardson needs to play this year. Like, I don't. And I realize, Gardner Minshew is the other option, so maybe they are better off just going with Richardson. But I still don't think that in an ideal situation, he needs to play this year. So I will go Stroud. I don't think either one of them are going to be great this year, but I think Stroud will be a little bit more consistent than Richardson will be. So I'll go CJ Stroud with that answer. All right, back over to non-sports. The best fast food French fry. Not meal, not burger. The best fast food French fry is what?
It's McDonald's.
That was quick.
And if you've seen that one, that Supersize Me or whatever, where they show you like that French fries don't even decompose in your stomach, the McDonald's fries, they just like it's just like putting plastic in your body. Yeah. So, like, believe me.
Stays there for years.
Yeah, but I mean, good, really good McDonald's fries, like with perfectly salted, fresh, and you dip them in the ketchup. I mean, fast food, yeah, it's easily the best, I think.
All right, so you're going McDonald's. Nick Kieser, your best fast food French fry.
I'm usually torn in this conversation. I've had this passionate conversation with friends in college, and when Cane's opened in Bowling Green, I went with Cane's quite a bit. Now, I want to say growing up, Wendy's was my favorite fast food French fry.
When they changed the fry.
When they changed it, Joe. When they changed it. So
did they?
There is that rivalry there. I get it. It's not McDonald's whatsoever. However, I have my memories going there having milkshakes growing up, having the French fries too. So look, it's just, I'm going Wendy's. I like that one. It's a consistent one for me to fall back on. The quality I can always count on as well.
Weird. Weird answer. How about you?
Arby's Curly Fry. The Curly Fry at Arby's.
That's a good one.
That's
what I'm going with.
That is strong. I buy those like freezer version.
Yeah. I like McDonald's. I mean, there's a lot of good French fries that I will eat, but the Arby's Curly Fry is the number one fast food French fry, in my opinion.
That's a very good answer.
All right, back over to sports, and both of you are going to hate me because I'm going to make you look at something here. But I probably should have told you about this before, but whatever. Your most overrated team in the college football AP poll and your most underrated team in the AP poll. I can go first if I need to.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so my most overrated team in the college football AP poll, people are going to get mad at this, Michigan at number two. I think Michigan's very good. I think Michigan's probably going to make the college football playoff, well, depending on what happens in the Ohio State game. I think number two is a little bit rich for Michigan. So I think they're probably more 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that neighborhood. But Michigan at number two, my most overrated team. My most underrated team is actually, why am I blanking on this? Oh, yeah, LSU. LSU at 5. I think LSU, full disclosure, I picked them to win the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got them as like my number two team in the country.
Okay.
Number 5.
Well, I'll go.
A lot of people mad at Clemson being number 9.
Saying that they're
overrated.
That they're overrated at night. Okay.
Well, a lot of Vols fans are really mad about that too.
Well, let me. Okay, so there's a lot of great options for overrated. I'm gonna go another Big Ten team, Penn State at 7. I don't think they're a top 10 team. I just think there's just a lack of, you know, teams that could fill the top 10. But you know, underrated team, and I know Rising is hurt, but Utah at 14. I think Utah, if he's good this year, really well-coached team.
That's a good one.
Tell me why they're not a top 10 team with him coming back.
That's a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Nick, you still thinking about
Oklahoma.
Wendy's fries? The overrated. I will say if you dip Wendy's fries in
the Frosty,
that is pretty
that
good.
Is, yes, I have done that. That really is very, very good.
If you can count Frosty sauce, then I'm with you.
There you go. I will take it, Joe. I'm going to go LSU as
overrated,
a little bit overrated. Mm. I think 5 is a little generous. I feel like that there is some merit to them being in the top 10. I just don't think 5 is where they belong currently.
Okay.
So I'm going to go there. And then I think.
Do it. Make it the Vols.
I'm not going to go with Tennessee. No, I'm not. I'm really not. Now, one team I liked to watch last year that I know that was kind of familiar for me in terms of coverage, just paying closer attention to, and actually silly underdog picks, this was kind of a popular pick last year, was Tulane.
Yeah.
So I think Tulane could rise a little bit more this year.
They lost Tajay Sharp, though.
24?
They did lose Tajay Sharp. Yeah, there you go. But I think he elevated them a little bit. But this year, I think they might be on the rise a little bit. We'll see what they do. But that's just my own thing.
Going Tulane, the green wave. I like it.
Ryan from Chicago just weighed in on the famous thing. So he knows the green wave well down there in New Orleans. He says, because of the first name, everybody knows LeBron by the first name.
Yeah.
But see, Taylor, that first name is too common to be just a first name.
Yeah, LeBron's,
you know,
not
saying
a common first name.
Exactly. Like Madonna. You know, like, how many people do you know, like, oh, yeah, you know old Madonna Simpson down there, down the way? No. Like, that name stands alone. So Taylor is a little bit too common. That's
by the way, also gave serious consideration in overrated in the AP poll to Notre Dame at 13 because they're always overrated.
Yeah, that's
low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, Michigan and Notre Dame are usually good answers for that question.
They are. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Choice is Yours brought to you by Jarrett Companies, above and beyond industry standards. If you need an estimate, call 615-515-1270. Again, that's 615-515-1270. Or visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com, J-A-R-R-E-T-T Companies Inc. .com. We'll take your thoughts on the text line, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. And there's a team out there in the NFL that is very intriguing to me this year that I wonder how the public at large will view them. We'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Join 1025-1063, the game, this Sunday for MTSU Athletics Fan Day. Fans can come out to see the football, volleyball, and track and field teams as the fall season is weeks away. You can get autographs, enjoy live music, along with inflatables, face painting, and balloon artists for the kids. The fun will also be at Floyd Stadium from 3 to 5 this Sunday. So check that out. You won't want to miss that out coming up this weekend. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, there's a team out there in the NFL that is getting a lot of attention. Just signed another player this past week that is going to cause more attention. I'm really interested to see how the general public views them. And that is the New York Jets, from a couple of different standpoints. Number one, like, they've been losers for a long time, right? So it's a big market. You're in New York. They've been losers for a long time. I think they have the longest playoff drought right now in professional sports, of the four major sports. So it's been a while since they've been to the playoffs. But you know, you have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. You have the Hard Knocks and all the attention surrounding them that way. Dalvin Cook has just been signed by the New York Jets. So there's a lot of star power on both sides of the football for the Jets there. Are people going to hate watch the Jets? Or are they going to be rooting for the Jets? Like, how do you think this plays out when it comes to New York and how this team is viewed this year?
That's a really good question. Like, the Cubs are the lovable loser. So whenever, you know, like when they have those seasons, I feel like there's a lot of people who kind of get behind them. I remember, I mean, look, in my lifetime of watching football, and as you know, it's a long way back. I was excited, by the way, to hear that Dan Fouts is on the Hall of Fame committee with Kaharsky.
That's good.
As he should be, Hall of Famer Dan Fouts. But I go back to the early 80s when they had Mark Gastineau, the New York Sack Exchange, and Joe Klecko.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, they had, like, Richard Todd, I mean, at quarterback, Freeman McNeil. Okay. And then you fast forward to, like, when they had Parcells and they had that, when Vinny Testaverde kind of had his career renaissance and they had some pretty good teams. And then you have the Rex Ryan era. So this is, like, maybe the fourth, like, decent football of New York Jets' brief stretch in, like, 40 years.
Yeah, it's pretty
but
incredible.
Like you said, but especially now, they've been so bad. So you would think that people would kind of gravitate toward them. But I think it's all about Aaron Rodgers.
I do, too.
I mean, you have to like Robert Saleh, and I think a lot of other guys on the team, you know, Sauce and Brees and all, but it's all about Rodgers. Do people like, hate, feel indifferent about, want to do psychedelics with Aaron Rodgers, you know? Like, what's the answer to that? The general public right now, Aaron Rodgers.
That's a great question. I don't know. Like, I think, look, as somebody who's watched Aaron Rodgers play a ton of football, I think it's very easy to see why people don't like him. So that combined with being a New York team, I tend to lean towards there's going to be a lot of hate watching this year of the Jets.
Yeah. I think there'll be at least a lot of like, pointy if
right.
they fail for
right.
sure.
But I also think they're going to be pretty good. Like, I think they're going to be a pretty good team. They got a good defense. They got a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the ball now. So, like, if we get to December and they're battling it out with Buffalo in the division, you know, obviously we saw this with the Patriots. Like, at some point, you know, Tom Brady, teams that win a lot, they get fatigue. Like, I think we're getting there with Kansas City from a lot of people around the league right now, which is like, all right. Like, Patrick Mahomes, very likable guy. Andy Reid, very likable coach. But at some point, you start winning enough and people get a little fed up with it. I do wonder, like, if the Jets are good in December, are people going to be pulling for them in the playoffs for, like, some new blood? Or is it like, oh, God, it's Aaron Rodgers. I want them to lose as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There is, like, with the Chiefs, So with the Patriots, I think it's very easy to dislike, you know, Belichick and Brady.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, I mean, that's the thing. Reed and Mahomes is a very likable combo.
They are.
You know? But, yeah, anybody has enough success, there's a certain amount of fatigue that sets in. I do think there's just a lot of excitement about a new team in the AFC, you know, because everybody's talking about, and I know maybe the Titans are a lot better than people think in the AFC too, but, it's Bills. It's been Bills, now Bengals, Chiefs. So for the Jets to break it, now the Dolphins were kind of that team last year. People got excited about them, and then, you know, Tua gets hurt. But either way, there's going to be a ton of attention. You know that. Like, in terms of the media, it's not going to be like Cowboys-like. Maybe not quite, but it's going to be
close.
In that realm. Yeah,
so, Dylan.
So if you hate them, you're going to hear a lot about them.
Dylan on the text line says, "I just wanted to say I've been a Titans fan all my life, but watching Hard Knocks has actually made me love Aaron Rodgers because he's nothing like what the media portrays him to be at all. It's been really cool seeing the bond he has with players and coaches and how they're all affected by him. Personally, I would love to see them win." This is from Dylan on the text line.
Okay, so I got to ask Dylan. Okay, so when you say the media portrays him, like I need to know. You know, what you're talking about. Like, what does it mean? I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers probably ticked off people more than anything in just his own interviews on Pat McAfee and stuff, right? Like, it's just him talking. Like, what is the – I mean, obviously, he had issues with Packers brass and all that stuff that went down. That was real. I mean, who's making up a false narrative about Aaron Rodgers? Ayahuasca? That was real. The clot, you know, the darkness retreat? Like, that's all stuff he did. So what is being made up by media about Aaron Rodgers?
I have seen a little bit of the, oh, he's a bad teammate type of thing, which I've never bought. Like,
yeah.
He's
well, you said that last year.
I've said that a lot.
Well, if anybody wrote that or said that, then that seems to be overstepping.
Yes. I'm really interested to see how this goes with them. I think they're going to be a lot. I think there are going to be a lot of people at some point that, because of the attention they're going to get, probably get a little fed up with it. Like, if you turn on Get Up in the morning on ESPN, like, it's been the Jets for 2 months straight. Like, that's all it is. I think at some point people are going to have enough with the attention that the Jets get.
Yeah. No, for sure. And
although Dalvin Cook with them makes them even more interesting.
No, that's the thing. I'm excited to watch. I'm excited to watch them play football. I mean, and just to see if Aaron Rodgers still has the fastball.
Because
if he does, then I think they might be awfully good. I got to give one quick shout-out to Keith because he lets us know on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. He said, "I dated a girl named Madonna Simpson in high school." Thank you, Keith.
I'm sure
there is a Madonna
I've
Simpson.
I've never heard of another Madonna. Well done.
Yeah, Madonna Simpson.
Right. Cole on the text line says, "As a Packers fan, I will be actively rooting for Rodgers to have his worst year of his career. Salah's a very likable coach, but Rodgers made my life as a fan hell, and I'm hoping it turns into this year."
Is that how you feel, too?
I don't know that he made my life hell as a Packers fan.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you wanted more.
I am rooting for them to lose because I would like a higher draft pick.
That's right. Yeah.
I need him to play 65% of the snaps at least, and I need them to lose. I don't think the second part of that's going to happen, though. I think they're going to win.
Yeah, they're going to win. But, you know, are they going to be 10-7? Are they going to, like, really win? 9-8,
that's
10-7, or really, really win? I mean, there's some competition in that division.
No question about it. Joe, it's good to be back.
Yeah.
Have fun today on the program.
Welcome back. Yes. Pops?
Yes.
Pops Stanley.
No question about it. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 a.m. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Chase McCabe Show up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle Grow Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle Grow Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save